Hi, family. My name is Donetta, and I'm an addict. I'm just having a hot moment right now. But it's all good. This topic is self-acceptance, and I really want to get up here and let you all know who I wish I was. But coming into the program, I found out who I am. All my life, I wanted to be somebody other than Donetta. You know, I'm the youngest out of 8. And my thought was, when I got here to this meeting today, that I was going to act like a clown by coming up here saying, my name is Donetta, and I'm from Washington, D.C. And I'm a recovering addict. I was born in D.C. My mother had 8 kids, and I'm the youngest. But you know what? I'm from the hood of D.C. So I'm a starter. My name is Donetta. And I'm from Washington, D.C. Born and raised. You know, I always wanted to be somebody else. I remember when I was coming up, my sisters and brothers, I had 4 sisters and 3 brothers, and I always felt that I wasn't a part of. And before I go on, another thought was in my mind when I got here. Last year this time, I had a sponsee that came down here 3 times with me since they was in recovery. And I just want to take this time, because my spirit tells me so, for a moment for her. She tried to get this thing, and she died last year a few weeks after leaving this convention. And I just want to have a moment just for her. Because I truly know that no one on God's given earth could have done what he done for her. Because she struggled to get this thing. And I never gave up on her. So thank you for the opportunity to let me have that moment just for Darlene. Now I can get back on to my moment. And I always remember that I never felt a part of. I had sisters that I felt that should have showed me how to comb my hair, how to cross my legs, how to change my clothes when it was time. See, my sisters was on a mission just as well as me. And I always felt that they should have been there for me. Now, I have a brother that's 2 years older than me. And I felt that he should have been showing me what a big brother is. But all he showed me was how to rob, steal, and rub me. So all my life I felt that I wasn't a part of my family. So I came in this program hating myself. I was very small. I ain't that big today, but I'm better than what I used to be. I was very small, and I always thought, you know, I used to fantasize a lot. I'm a thinking person. And I used to always fantasize that when I get big, I'm going to be a movie star. When I get big, I'm going to be a book writer. I'm going to be an editor. I'm going to be a movie projector, producer. Come on, help me out, family. I used to fantasize about this because I had a family that came up under alcohol. Okay, alcohol is a drug. They came under alcohol, and when they got drunk or drinking, they used to always call me out. They, come on, sis, come on, Donette, come on, Donette, come on out here and dance. And I used to get out there and dance like Michael Jackson. You know, back in the 50s, back in the 60s and the 70s, I used to wear a little bush. And you know, the little bush looked like Michael Jackson's little bush. So I really thought, you know, when I was coming up, that I was going to be somebody when I got big. I never believed that I would be an addict. You know what I'm saying? It's very important for me to understand where I came from. you know, my sisters and brothers, they used to beat on me because my mother, and I could never understand why my mother always did for me and didn't do for them. And they hold resentment and anger against me for years because I couldn't understand that. But after doing some work on myself, I was a sick baby. You know, it's 9 systems in the body. It could be some doctors and nurses in here, but all I remember is 7 out of the 9 because that I had surgery in. And I remember every time my mother brought me from the hospital, my sisters and brothers never wanted to hug me, hold me, and kiss me, and love me, and nurture me. The only person that did that was my mom. I had, my mother left her husband from Swan, South Carolina. I may have had that little accent too, but I'm from Washington, D.C. But all my family came from Florence, South Carolina, and I remember when I was 9 years old, they tried to take me down there. And you know, you can't take the city out. You can take the person out of the city, but you can't take the city out of the person. Man, I went down South Carolina, and I'm like, I ain't walking on no ground with no shoes off. Oh, no, that was a thing from them. And South Carolina, trust me, the bees and the flies is buzzing in your ear, and I couldn't understand how could they live like this, but I realized why my mother left. She was tired of that lifestyle. It wasn't a good one for her. And then she had a husband that abused her and used her, and when she got up here, she just got buck wild because when she met my father, I remember my father calling me a boy, and he told me one time, I was 7 years old, he wished I was a boy. So I always thought that my sexual identity, I didn't have a balance in my life. You know, I told you I had a brother 2 years older than me, so I pretty much did what he did. I had a sister 3 years older than me, and I wanted to do what she did. And the other sisters, they was making babies. So I was a confused child at an early age. And all I wanted to do was fit in somewhere other than in my household where I was not getting love. So I started being like the Smith family who had a papa and a mama and a papa that went to work every day. So I started saying I was kin to somebody else's family when I went to school. They said, who you kin to? Oh, I'm Linda Smith's sister. My last name, Franks. My maiden name is Franks. They said, you don't look like Linda Smith. Now, Linda Smith, whole family, real light skin. But I just wanted what they had was a mother, a father, nourishment, caring and sharing. All I wanted was what they had. So I was pretending to be a part of somebody else's family. I was dreading to come home at an early age from school because I didn't want to be in that household. And as I started getting older, you know, I realized that my mother was going back and forth in the hospital. And one time she went in the hospital, and my sister and them told me that she might pass. And I was saying, Mama ain't gonna die. You know, Mama always come back home to me. What I'm gonna do if Mama, you know, die? And I remember every time she went in the hospital as I was growing up, because I told you I was a sick child. At the age of 9, I had esophagus surgery. At the age of 12, I had appendicitis. At the age of 13, I had tonsillitis. At the age of, I don't know how old I was, but I know it was in 1983, I had lung surgery as a result of this disease, you know. So I always been, my mother died March the 28th of 1983, and I was drugging so much because I knew that I couldn't live no more without her. So I just kept doing what I was doing until my left lung collapsed. And today, as a result of that, I have a staple in my left lung. But that still wasn't my bottom, y'all. My bottom wasn't until November the 25th of 1991. Only through the grace of God. Only through the grace of God. And I remember my mother going back and forth to the hospital. Every time my mother went to the hospital, I was 12 and 13 and 14 years old. My sisters and brothers knew to treat me like a dog. They did not feed me. They did not send me to school. They beat me. We're talking about your blood. So don't come here talking about, look at her, she ain't working on nothing. You don't know where I came from. You don't know what I went through to be so feisty. So you don't know where people been. That's why we can't judge people. I always wanted to take up for myself. And when my mother died, oh, it all came out. The day of the funeral, I found out that my older sister put my mother left eye out. Now, I'm here to tell you, I was the one who used to clean her eye out. She held her head back. I took the eyeball out, put it in lubrication, put it back in her eye. I did not know that my sister did that. Until I got to recovery, I hated her, I wanted to kill her, and I did not see her after the day after the funeral, because I went to kill her. Now, here to say that, I told you that my mother was my best friend. And I proceeded to not only kill her, but try to kill myself. So you don't know where I came from. So focus on the message and not the messenger. Because my story is what it is. My sisters and brothers, when I got here, I hated them all. I had a lot of pain of resentment, a lot of pain of anger. All I wanted to do when I got here is stop using. And y'all told me to come in here. This is a simple program for complicated people. Y'all say, get a sponsor. I did that. Y'all say, pray. I did that. Y'all say, work on self. But I did that too. But y'all say, working on self. No, clean up house. And I thought clean up house to me was meaning go home and vacuum clean the house, you know, dust down the house and everything. And I came and I shared that. I came back to the room and said, I clean up the house and everything, but I don't feel no better. And they would say, please keep coming back. And I caught a little attitude. What you mean, please keep coming back? I said, clean up house. And this sister and brother at the same time came and said, they talking about the inside. See, I'm telling you, if you don't address these issues that we came in here with, all they going to do is going to disturb your peace of serenity. Because I'm telling you, when I came in here, I shared that if my sister came back, because she went to South Carolina after I tried to kill her, and I ain't seen her since. She just came back from South Carolina. But I'm saying if I ain't work on myself, I would still have that resentment and that anger. But y'all told me I had to get rid of those resentments and anger as I was going to use again. If not use, I was going to act out on my behavior and what I was thinking. Because the only thing I was thinking is taking my mother eye out, putting it back in, and realizing that her own child did that. How could you do that to your own parent? But you don't know, Donetta, what happened when you was coming up. All you can remember is when you was a child coming up. See, I was a baby when it happened. But all I heard was she did it. That was enough for me. That was enough for me. And the bottom line is, I have learned how to go on the inside. And I start pulling that onion. And I'm not to the root yet, y'all. Because sometimes I can be around y'all people. I could be on my job and somebody would do something to bring a flashback to my mind and make me think about what happened to me in my past. That's why sometimes you got to be vigilant of where you are in your space. I know it's only through the grace of God that I can stand here and say that I'm not where I used to be emotionally. But I'm not where I want to be spiritually. Because it's only through the grace of God to allow His Spirit to come in me to clean up house. Because I can tell y'all in the program, I felt one more time like killing myself. You don't know where I've been through. Right here in recovery. Right here in recovery. Having my past kick up one more time and making me feel like I'm no good. None of y'all want me. Like y'all telling lies. We learn to love you till you learn how to love yourself. You just keep coming back and more revealed. I thought all that was a myth for y'all. But I know today that y'all love me. Because I believe when I come in here and share anything I want, I get some help. I don't know about nobody else. My recovery is my responsibility. And if I don't come in here and free me, ain't nobody else going to do it. Ain't nobody else can take my story and tell it the best way I can. And I'm doing the best that I can. And that's all that I had to offer the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous when I opened my mouth. And I can say since I've been here, the first step has allowed me to get honest with you all and tell y'all because I got abused, because my sisters and brothers abused me and whipped me and didn't feed me. Guess what? I did it to my own. Because what comes around goes around. The apple don't fall too far from the tree. And if you don't work on those issues and be vigilant of what happened to you, you will do it to your child. If not your child, you will do it to your niece, your nephew, your cousin. I just told you my brother used to rub me. Okay? If I would not allow someone to know what he was doing, he probably would have what? Had sex with me. And that's why I keep coming back. Because that ain't likely to tell y'all. Because I have to see this man. Okay? Not on a daily basis because he don't live close to me. You know what I'm saying? But I got to see him when I got to see him. The feeling ain't gone nowhere. It's just been arrested because I remember the things that he was doing. I feel today that he did what he knew how to do. Maybe somebody did to him. Most likely that's how it happened. What comes around goes around. You do it to somebody, somebody do it to you. And believe me, I did it to somebody else. And that's why I say the cycle got to stop here. And I thank God for allowing me to come in the program because that's the only way I had allowed the cycle to stop with me by focusing on the things that I am ashamed about. I am guilty about. Because if I don't work on those shame and that guilt, I would stay stuck right here in recovery and allow y'all to tell me I'm all right. But not all right with self. Today, I'm all right with self because I realize that the burden that I came in here with has been lifted. Just a little bit. Where I can move a little bit further to my future. I truly believe that this is a God-gifted program. And may you find him now. Because I could not get through the pain, the resentment, the hurt, the guilt without God. I couldn't do it without him. God uses y'all people to help people like me. Especially the predecessors. Oh, I love my predecessors. Y'all know who you are. I love you all. And God knows I thank God for the newcomer. Because that's just letting me know it's still there, ain't nothing changed. Because if Donetta don't believe nothing changed at any given time, I can go back out there and experience. But God have gave me a will, and I choose to come in here and stay for life. And it ain't easy. It's not easy coming in here doing what I got to do for self. Self-acceptance for me is just realizing that I do not need any human being to validate nothing I do or say in my life today. I don't need no one to validate nothing I do or say. Because I used to be the one that would do anything for you to get what need. And I do not tolerate no one calling me anything other than my name, Donetta. Because for years, I've been called everything other than. And when I got here, I didn't even know my name was Donetta. And today I can say, I know that I had accepted me for me through the God of my understanding. And I'm going to share this and move on because I don't know what time it is. But he said I had 30 minutes. So it's about my time is up. But I'm going to share this. I'm going to be honest. I was honest all the time, though. I'm having another hot moment. When I thank God for my sponsor. And I thank God for my sponsees. And I thank God for the South Potomac area asking me to come and share my experience for hope and self-acceptance. And I hope somebody realizes that you have to work on self for you can get some freedom and get out of the bondage that you have been in for so long. And I say that because I thought I ain't had nothing to share with y'all. And when I heard that it was a person from a facility that was sharing with me, I had to find out who it was. Because I didn't want to share with that individual. Because it was going to be a bomb meeting. And I wasn't going to be as bomb as them. So I'm going around a convention saying, do you know who Gary is? Do you know who Greg is? Do you know who Greg is? They said, yeah, you know who Greg is? I said, nah. You know his wife? I said, nah, who his wife? Who his wife? No, I don't know his wife. Who? Shh. Donnell, you know. I said, no, I don't. Who is he? Who is he? This is a simple program for complicated people. I saw him, and I said, do you know who such and such a... And he says, me. I love you, brother, because we came in the same time. And I said, oh, God got this thing. I said, oh, God got this thing. I'm going to be all right now. I'm going to be all right. And with that, I can say, if nobody got no help, I did. And that's only what matters to me at this moment. Because I said earlier, it's not easy coming in here disclosing yourself. But people, brothers and sisters, we got to do it no matter what. Oh, thank you. And with that, I keep coming back. God bless.
Now I give y'all a second speaker, Gary V.
Oh, family, my name is Gary, and I'm an addict. Hey, and it's by God's grace and His mercy that I stand here clean today, and I thank God for that moment. I thank God for, I want to thank the South Potomac area for considering me. This is a real humbling experience, and I'm real, real nervous, but it'll be all right. I want to thank God for my wife. It's real humbling to be able to stand before a group of people and share yourself. And I thank God for the opportunity. This program has been so good to me. It has given me an opportunity to live. I struggled with being Gary. I wanted so badly to be anybody but Gary. I struggled. And as a young child, growing up in Northwest Washington, near 14th and T and 7th and T and 12th and U, where it was a central point for drugs, alcohol, prostitution, pimping, number backing, you know what I mean? And it was, and I was in the middle of that. And I wanted so badly to be accepted. I went to great, great lengths to be accepted. I went into neighborhoods. When I grew up, you could not go two blocks outside of your neighborhood. If you did, you better know somebody, because you would get beat up and sent back to your neighborhood. And I mean a two-block radius. And I went far beyond that. I went in some neighborhoods and in some alleys, you know what I mean, just to be accepted by some people who probably didn't have a clue about what I was going through. And I thank God for those experiences, because what it did, it made me stronger. I went some places that I'm not proud of. I did some things that I'm not proud of. I was with some people that I'm not proud to be with or have been with, but it was an experience. It helped me to grow up. I've married a woman out of lack of self-acceptance. I didn't think that I would ever find a woman who had a job, came from the family background, lived in the neighborhood she lived in, none of that. And I married her because I really didn't accept myself. My self-esteem was so low that it was non-existent. And it was difficult for me to be able to get past that. Drugs helped to induce my decision to marry this woman. And 2 months later, I wanted to send her home, pregnant and barefooted. I wanted to send her home. I wanted to go back to my room in my mother's apartment and finish using. But there was something inside of me that kept saying that you can do this. And I did, and I attempted. I gave it my best shot, but it didn't work out. I ended up walking away from that family and to proceed my using career. I started, it was a career. I started snorting dope, something that I vowed that I would never do. Because of where I came from and what I witnessed and experienced and living in that rooming house at 1210 T Street and seeing men and women alike slumped over a bathtub, sometimes dead, sometimes not, blood running all over the floor, alcoholics that lived upstairs from us that peed in a bucket, tilted over and ran through our ceiling, you know, vomiting the floor in the hallway on a regular basis where my mother had to clean it up so that we can get into our little living quarters. It was difficult. And I just couldn't understand. I couldn't accept the fact that I was the son of a woman who was the age of my friend's grandmother. I couldn't accept that. It was difficult. I couldn't accept that I had to wear hand-me-down shoes and hand-me-down jackets and a grown man's coat as an overcoat. I didn't accept that. So I tried to do something different with my life. I tried desperately to change that. And I found time in and time out that I did not have the power to change that. But what I did do, I went on a spree. I started to rob and steal and breaking in stuff and snatching women's pocketbooks. And I did a lot of devastating stuff right in my immediate neighborhood. And I had no clue of what I was doing. All I wanted to do was be accepted into a peer group of people, because I didn't want to be that guy who I saw them pick on. You know what I mean? Sometimes they raped. Sometimes they ridiculed. And I vowed that I would do anything. I would go to great lengths not to be that person. Later on in my using career, I found an enabling woman who had a son who allowed me to live with her. And when I use them, I destroy stuff. I destroy lives. I destroy material. I destroy vehicles. I'm just like the Tasmanian devil. And I destroyed that woman's life. I destroyed the life of the son that she was trying to raise. And I didn't have the courage, when I walked away from that family, I didn't have the courage to go back and tell that little boy how much I loved him. So I went on and I got clean and I went to PIW. It's a high-priced nut house on Upper Wisconsin Avenue in Washington, D.C. And I stayed there for 28 days and folk came from H&I and they brought the message of hope and they talked to me and they told me, man, it's going to be all right. And they told me I need to get a sponsor. And I said, a sponsor? I said, do they give money? You know, they help you buy a car? Or, you know, I mean, what is a sponsor? I had no clue. But they just kind of told me that person would be my guide, a person that would help me to live through this program. And one was assigned to me. And I didn't know this guy. I never met him. And one of my buddies going on to be with the Lord, he said, man, look, I got you. Just write down this person's name. And when you come out, I'll introduce you to him. And when I got out of treatment, I went to my first NA meeting down to 1300 First Street, old Trust Clinic. And this guy stood up and he said, I'm so-and-so and I'm an addict. And I said, that must be my sponsor. And so I walked up to him and I introduced myself and he hugged me and told me to keep coming back. He said, man, everything will be all right. Just keep coming. Just don't use, go to meetings, call me. Pray, try to help somebody, and don't expect nothing back. And I did that. And I would call them on occasion. You know, there was still something inside of me that kept saying, man, you a 39-year-old man. You don't need to be calling a grown man telling them what your day was like. You know what I mean? Didn't make a whole lot of sense to me. You know, where I came from and what I learned about living is that you're a man, you handle your business. You know what I'm saying? And I would call him and I'd still go to meetings and I learned how to accept my position in life. I was still living with the woman who I last used with and I was going to meetings and y'all kept telling me in meetings, man, you had to change the people that you played with, change the places that you played with them at. And your playthings, you got to change those. And I was like, oh, man, shoot, this woman is real good to me. She sexed me up real good. She make the bed up. She wash my clothes. She does all the enabling things that I'm accustomed to. I'm not going nowhere. And I kept going to meetings, and I kept hearing y'all tell me, keep coming back. And you're going to have to change that stuff. Change them people, change those places and things. And I started, as I started to detox, even in the meetings after treatment, I started to see her character defects. I never identified mine. I saw hers. I was like, man, do I really want to be around her? You know what I mean? Is this a woman I say I love? I don't know about that. I might give this a second thought. So as time went on, I had made a decision. I said, well, I'm gonna do something different. I'm gonna step out on some faith and you know, and I'm gonna tell this woman that I don't wanna be with her no more. Now I can't tell her in public, cause she's the kind of woman who is real feisty. She know how to fight. And chances are I'm gonna have to knock her down. And I ain't a real violent guy. Don't get it twisted. I ain't no woman beater or nothing. I ain't no bank robber, none of that. But I know my position in life. And I took her down to Anacostia Park. And at the time, it was real popular to drink Mystics. So I got us a couple of Mystics, and we sat down on the grass. And I leaned over to her and I told her, I said, sweetheart, I don't think you and I can live together anymore. And she stole me. Bam! She hit me right upside my head, man. And I had to grab her because she was going to beat me up if I hadn't. But I grabbed her and I held her down. And I'm saying this, ladies and gentlemen, because I'm like I said, I'm not a real violent guy. But when I'm fearful and I'm protecting myself, I'll do just that. If you back me in the corner, you know what I mean, I'm going to come out fighting. I don't care who you are, man, woman, chick, or child. And, you know, and we kind of talked and she tried it again. And I decked her. And I'm not saying that because I'm proud. That I'm saying that because that's my story. That's what I did. And it scared me because I knocked her out. And I had to pick her up and put her in a car. And as I was taking her to her apartment so I could get my stuff and roll out. Because I knew it was over at that point. But nonetheless, I'm saying that to say, you know, I've done a lot of things, man, I'm not proud of. And I had to learn some valuable lessons in all of what I did. And I'm grateful for the experience. And self-acceptance has always been a difficult situation for me. We have two beautiful daughters, man. And, you know, one of them is a fugitive from the law right now. And it disturbs me, but I'm powerless. You know what I'm saying? And as much as I would like to, you know, if I could had the power to turn her in, I would. And I called her on her birthday, and I suggested her to turn herself in. You know what I mean? You're becoming a desperate person. You're doing desperate stuff. You know what I'm saying? And she just kind of said, man, I'm not going in. You know what I mean? And so I had to accept that right where she is. You know what I mean? And she, you know, and I just pray to God my understanding that, you know, that she's protected and she's covered, you know, by his loving and caring arms and hands, just like he did me. But it's difficult. It's difficult, man. And a lot of times, man, I go into denial about that kind of situation. And, you know, oftentimes I think about it. I try to push her out of my mind because it disturbs me so and it breaks my heart to think that my daughter and that she's out in the street. I don't know what she's doing, but I got a God. I got a God. And I pray to him and I talk to him. And I've learned over the years to develop and cultivate a relationship with it. And I talk to him just like I talk to you all. But I talk to him a little bit more humbler than I talk to you all. Because I know, I've learned to know and understand some things about my God. And as a result of doing that, it's helped me to become a more balanced person in my life, in my recovery. And that's one of the things that I've learned how to do is kind of balance myself and what I do. I tip the scale a lot of times. A lot of times I tip the scale. And I still sometimes want to be accepted, you know. But when I talk to the God of my understanding, I petition to him to help me, to guide me, you know, he does just that. And a lot of times I ain't ready for that. You know what I mean? I don't, you know, sometimes he'll tell one of my elders to tell me something I don't want to hear. You know what I mean? I don't want to adhere to it. But I know that if I don't, then it always results to a lot of pain. And I don't want to go through a whole lot of pain. Y'all introduced me to some peace, some acceptance, you know, and I want to hold on to that, you know, because I know how important it is. And I try to share that with the newcomer. Is that, man, if you got some peace, hold on to it. Because life situations, they're going to come up. Oh, they're going to come up. You know, we have people who have, you know, all kinds of diseases and lost their limbs and loved ones and all kinds of stuff. So you just got to hold on. And as Doreen say, rock with it. You know what I mean? Hold on. But this is a blessed program from God, and I know that, and I feel so honored to be amongst people who are just like me. You know what I mean? We're growing and learning to be accepted in themselves. Because I know it's not easy. I did a lot of stuff, man, just to be accepted. And it's devastating. It's really devastating to know that, you know, you take your mother's life savings, her mother's life savings, and spend it all up. You know what I mean? And depend on the district government to bury her. You know what I'm saying? That's what I did in my addiction. You know, and I'm not proud of that. But it's part of my story. You know what I mean? And I'm grateful for the experience, because what it taught me was that the same thing can happen to you. You know, and I don't want it to happen to me. I don't want to have people struggle, you know, to put me in the ground. You know, to make sure that, you know, that I'm sent off properly. You know, I want them to be all right. I want to be all right while I'm here. You know what I'm saying? So, but this program, man, teaches me, you know what I mean, to stand up on 2 feet and not to lean and depend on myself. Is that I have a God that I can lean and depend on. I have you guys that I can lean and depend on. That you all going to share your experience and hope with me to assure me, man, that, you know, I can step into this program and I can do anything I want to do. You know, I can be who I want to be. And I don't have to act like somebody else just to please them. You know what I'm saying? I don't have to laugh at your little corny jokes. You know what I'm saying? If I don't want to. You know what I'm saying? And it feels good to be able to accept myself. You know what I mean? And it's a great freedom. You know, the first step talks about acceptance. You know what I mean? And I had a difficult time with doing step work. I'm a procrastinator. That's what I've done for the most part of my life, is I put it off to tomorrow, next week, next month. And then when it get critical, you know, I want to make some irrational decisions about what I need to do. And that's not healthy. You know, I have an opportunity to look at stuff today and plan it. You know what I mean? And accepting myself is knowing that I'm all right right where I am. You know what I mean? I don't have to jump hoops, you know, do cartwheels or none of that. You know, I'm all right where I am. And it's a great, great freedom in that. You know, I can remember the times I would, you know, drive people and take people places that I really didn't want to go. And, you know what I mean? Just as you could say to Gary, well, you are all right. You know what I mean? But today, man, I can look in the mirror and I can tell myself, man, you all right. You know what I mean? And I don't need no validation from anyone else. You know what I'm saying? I'm all right just like I am. You know, my character defects, my shortcomings, all of that. You know what I'm saying? And as long as I work toward, you know, the solution in those things that hold me hostage or held me hostage, then I'm going to be all right. And it doesn't take rocket science. You know what I mean? Donnetta alluded to that. This is a simple program for complicated people like me. You know what I mean? And nobody can more complicate stuff than me, for me. You know, and a guy shared years ago, he said, man, you know, if somebody had to try to do to me what I did to me, I'd try to kill him. You know what I mean? And I, you know, man, that's pretty harsh. But now I understand. You know, so I'm a little bit more accepting of myself today. With my procrastination, my anger, my resentment, and it's not as intense as it used to be. You know what I mean? Y'all shared your experience, strength, and hope with me, and I've been through enough experiences. You know, I intuitively know what to do today, you know what I'm saying, with my life. In most cases, you know, my first sponsor, he was elevated. He was elevated, and he went into ministry, you know, and I am so happy for him, you know what I mean? And it's funny thing, I went without really sharing with him when I had him, you know what I mean? And then, you know, he went on into the ministry, and I was left without a sponsor. And I gravitated to my grand sponsor. And one day, you know, the Spirit just moved me toward one of the brothers in my church, and he's a recovering addict. And I asked him, you know, would he share his life with me? And he gladly accepted that responsibility, man. And, you know, in sharing with him and being able to get honest, you know, all over again, you know what I mean? It was, this time it wasn't so difficult because this guy is real humorous and he cracks jokes and he makes it real easy for me to be able to approach him. Not to say that the other guy didn't, but it kind of helps me get through stuff, my stuff. But I've learned to accept me right where I am with that. It was an ordeal for a minute. I prayed on it, and God sent me to him. So I'm everlasting grateful, man, to having to have to develop a relationship with him. And with some sponsees, you know, I have some guys who come to me and they say that I'm their sponsor, and you know what I mean. They call me every now and then, and I love them, man, because they bring me so much joy, man. You know, to see, I get a chance to look in the mirror again, and I see myself and some of the things they do and say and act, and you know, my wife and I, we oftentimes we sit down and we say, did we really act like that? Did we say that kind of stuff? You know what I mean? And we know what the answer is. We were probably worse. You know what I'm saying? In most cases. But I just want to say, man, that this program is one of the most awesome experiences that I've ever had. It has helped me to grow and prosper and not materialistic stuff come and go. How I feel about myself today is when one of the greatest things that has ever happened to me, and that I can be able to share that with another human being, and recognizing that I have some assets. I have something to share. You know, because the disease will tell you, you know, oh, you ain't got nothing to share. You know what I mean? I don't know why, you know, them people chose you, you know, but I have a story. You know, I have some experiences. I've allowed the God of my understanding to come into my life and change me. And I know that I'm not the same guy I used to be. You know, my needs have changed. I don't need, you know, those kinds of validations anymore. I have some strengths. I have some weaknesses as well. But I have something to stand on. You know, and as long as I had the foundation of Narcotics Anonymous and the God of my understanding and you people to help to guide me through that, you know, I've seen how other people before me have gone on and they've grown and done some great things, not only for themselves, but for communities. They've reached back in the community and they've given back and they've changed some situations in some other people's lives. And it had nothing to do with Narcotics Anonymous. But because they've learned to apply their principles in their lives, they've been able to do that. And I like to follow that. The literature talks about following the leaders, and I want to do that. And I've done that, and I've reaped the rewards. And nothing gives me any more greater joy than to see a newcomer that there's some way along the way that I've touched their life. You know what I'm saying? And they said, man, I thank you for coming and sharing at HNI or being able to, you know, return that phone call. You know, those are the kinds of rewards that I get. You know what I mean? And it means so much to me that I can be able to do those kinds of things for anybody. You know what I mean? Doesn't, you know, mean that they have to be in Narcotics Anonymous. It could be anywhere. So it's important for me to step outside of myself and do that. And that helps me with my self-acceptance. You know what I mean? That I can step outside of Gary and his little feeble mind and sometimes selfish ways. And that my life has gotten so good now that, you know, that I can't reach back. You know what I mean? But I want to. And that's one of the gifts that God has given me is that I can encourage others to do that. And that's what I try to do as often as I can. Is I try to encourage anybody to, you know, to try this program. You know, I have a home group and, you know, I'm in service and, you know, it's important. It's important. That's one of my home group members. Yeah. I love you, Steve. It's important, man, that we reach back and we help the newcomer. You know what I mean? And there's some of us who've been around here for a while that need just as much help, but in other areas. It's because we reach different plateaus in this recovery process, and it's important, man, that we not think that because we have as much clean time that we don't go through things. Because we do. We go through stuff. You know what I'm saying? And it may not be as intense as the newcomer, but we go through stuff. You know what I mean? But all of this is centered in helping us, man, to come outside of ourselves and challenge some fears. You know what I'm saying? And be accepting of ourselves. You know, that we don't keep ourselves. We already put ourselves in a box when we're using. So now we get into the program. It's time to start, you know, peeling back the layers of that onion skin and getting to the core stuff. You know, so we can be able to accept ourselves and we can accept others. You know, and that's the basis of this program, is that we help one another. So I want to thank you guys for listening to me. I love you, and I pray that the newcomer sticks and stays no matter what. If you heard something or if you didn't, you know what I mean, just keep coming back. You know, if somebody says something to you, hurt your feelings, keep coming back. You know what I mean? If you didn't get to go to the workshop you wanted to go to, keep coming back. You know what I'm saying? You know, just don't use and stick and stay. This program works. Thanks for letting me share.